This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the
7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. All right, the mic's hanging low today, Jackson. Can the fine folks at home hear me well? Can they still hear me well?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
All right, glorious. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe I should lower it even more so they can't hear me at all. What do you think of that?
No, I think it's good. I don't know why
I'm really glad you didn't agree with me on that sentiment. So I appreciate that.
I feel better
heading into this week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Adam Carriker Show. What you're going to get, you know it. Unique insight, unbridled honesty. Producer Jackson and I, at least for a few more days, we're going to have a whole lot of fun process. Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. Today's show, as always, is loaded. Nebraska baseball, rough end to the season. Nonetheless, we'll look back the season as a whole. We'll look back at the weekend as well. And man, it's hard. I mean, the way it ended was rough, obviously. Losing, 17-1 to Oklahoma, losing 2 out of 3 at the regionals, both games to Oklahoma. Not the way you want to end it. But the season as a whole, what we define it as a success? Was it good? How do we feel about it? We'll talk about that, all those good things today. Nebraska football recruiting update. It is a heavy month of recruiting in June. It is interesting because a few years, it wasn't that long ago, National Signing Day in February was the creme de la creme, and then you were pretty much mostly done. Like that first Wednesday in February is like a national holiday if you're a college football fan. Then you get the early National Signing Day in December. Then you get the transfer portal. Then you get post-spring transfer portal. Then you get pretty much recruiting nonstop now. Not a bad thing. It's just I'm always intrigued and interested to see how things evolve and change over time. If you're someone like me and you love Husker sports and you love college football, you love this because there's constantly things to be following and talking about. And if you have a show, it's great content. But even if I didn't have a show, man, it's just intriguing stuff that really never stops. And if you're a fan of this, you absolutely love it. So we're going to give a recruiting update as well. And Nebraska officially has a new punter. I was going to say to boot, but, bad pun intended, not pun intended, but to boot. We officially have a new punter to boot. All right, let's go back over the weekend. You look at Friday. Nebraska plays Oklahoma. All right, unable to come away with the victory. Lose 4-7 in baseball in the Chapel Hill Regional. All right, bounce back on Saturday. Get the win versus Holy Cross. Beat them 4-1 on Sunday. Unfortunately, lose to the Sooners again 17-1. As we kind of go game by game here. All right, going back to the opener versus Oklahoma. Nebraska dropped the opening game of the Chapel Hill Regional with a 7-4 setback against Oklahoma on Friday, all right, at Boschimer Stadium in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Case Sanderson went 2-for-3 with a double and a home run. Max Butenbach drove in 3 runs with a triple, while Riley Silva, Devin Nunez, and Gabe Swanson tallied a hit apiece. All right, Jackson Brockett dropped to 4-4 on the season after allowing 3 runs on 6 hits with 4 strikeouts and a pair of walks across 3 1/3 innings of work. Casey Dias recorded 2 outs and allowed a run before Caleb Clark surrendered 3 unearned runs on 2 hits across 2 2/3 innings of relief. All right, now, as I mentioned, Nebraska, who finished the season 33-9, all right, lost the opener against Oklahoma in the regional. They get a chance on Saturday against Holy Cross. Ty Horn allowed 1 run across 7 1/3 innings. When you lose, just to pause and kind of briefly think about things for a second, when you lose your ace, really before the season's even getting going at all, you look at a sophomore, an underclassman, a guy like Ty Horn, who all of a sudden needed to be asked much more of. Much more was needed from him. And he stepped up in the Big Ten championship game. He stepped up in the regional versus Holy Cross. All right, this is a young guy. You have to be excited about the future he has with Nebraska. All right, Ty Horn allowed 1 run across 7 1/3 innings, and Caden Brumbaugh slugged the go-ahead homer in the bottom of the 5th as Nebraska kept its season alive at the time with a 4-1 victory over Holy Cross in an elimination game on Saturday. Nebraska scored 4 runs on 10 hits, while Holy Cross scored 1 run across 5 hits. On Saturday against Holy Cross, Devin Nunez had a career day at the plate, going 4-for-4. Not too shabby, with a pair of doubles and a run scored. Brumbaugh went 2-for-4 with a 2-run homer, while Hogan Helisko went 2-for-3 with a homer, 2 RBI, and 2 runs scored. Max Butenbach and Rhett Strokes tallied 1 hit apiece for the Huskers on Saturday afternoon. Again, Horn pitched really well, allowed just 1 run across 5 hits, 7 1/3 innings to improve to 4-4 on the season. And you could tell he got better and better as the season went along, which is what you hope for, what you'd expect, but what you'd like to see from a young pitcher. Again, exciting. I don't want to say high expectations, but exciting stuff for him going forward in the future here at Nebraska. Let's see. The sophomore surrendered a walk and struck out 6 batters. Luke Broderick collected his 13th save of the season after dealing 1 2/3 inning shutout frames to move into a tie for 3rd most in a season by an NU reliever. Broderick is the first Husker with 13 saves in a season since Colby Gomes in 2019. So again, Nebraska stayed alive on Saturday, taking down Holy Cross. Now, they get to Sunday. Okay, things don't go exactly the way that we'd like. Nebraska saw its season end with a 17-1 loss to Oklahoma in an elimination game on Sunday afternoon. Nebraska, 33-29, their final record on the season, scored 1 run on 6 hits and 5 errors, while Oklahoma, 37-21 on the season, had 17 runs on 18 hits and an error. Riley Silva and Hogan Helisko pieced together 2 hits each, while Gabe Swanson went 1-for-3 with a double. Dylan Carey recorded a hit and drove in Nebraska's lone run on Sunday. Will Walsh fell to 4-8 on the season after allowing 7 runs, 5 earned on 6 hits across 2 innings. Tucker Timmerman surrendered 2 runs, 1 earned on 3 hits while recording 1 out. Drew Christo made his 31st appearance, climbing to a tie for 6th most by a Nebraska reliever in a season all-time. Senior pitcher pitched 3 1/3 innings in relief before Jalen Worthley and Gavin Blachowicz combined to deal the next 2 1/3 innings. TJ Coach took the mound in the top of the 9th inning, retiring the Sooners in order. Oklahoma, I can go through all these. They had a lot of hits, 18, a lot of runs, 17. Things didn't go our way. The season ends for Nebraska. I don't know that we need to dive into each and every one of those stats as we're going along. Again, you look back at the season as a whole. Well, let's start by looking back at the regional, Jackson. So, obviously, it doesn't go the way we want. Okay, lose 2 out of 3, ousted by Oklahoma. You look back at the regional. We'll just specifically look at that, and then we'll take a broader retrospective look back at the whole season. What are your thoughts on how the regional went, how things unfolded for Nebraska this past weekend?
Yeah, it's certainly disappointing to obviously – they didn't really keep the energy going from the Big Ten tournament. That's kind of what I thought was going to happen, hopefully. You know, as a lot of the announcers were coming in, Nebraska was one of the hottest teams going in this tournament, the team that you probably didn't want to play because they were on a very hot streak. That obviously didn't keep going, did not carry over from the Big Ten tournament. So it was a little disappointing. That first game, okay, you kind of get out of it, but you didn't get, you know, whooped. So you kind of felt, okay, whatever, you know, let's go in, let's beat Holy Cross. And then you rally in that game. It was kind of close for a good portion of the game, but you rally, come back in that game, you end up winning. And then you get into OU the next day, and you just get behind. You just get behind, and that one, you're getting your butt whooped. To get 17 runs put up on you and only respond with 1 is definitely not the outcome that you wanted. So the region as a whole definitely needs to go into the offseason with some work. I think this hopefully will motivate the guys, especially the fact that it was Oklahoma, you know, a historical rival to the university. So, yeah, just an overall disappointing tournament appearance for Nebraska baseball.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the way it went. You would have hoped, like you said, to keep the momentum going, one of the hottest teams in the country, playing so well towards the end of the year. Obviously, did not go our way. When you look across the past 2 decades, Nebraska's participated in 10 different regionals. They're 1-9 against teams that are currently in power conferences during those appearances in the NCAA tournament. I'm pausing because the scores haven't exactly been what you would like. Been outscored on average, if we're going to round here for simplicity, 9-4 in those games. So 1-9, not a great winning percentage. The scores of those games are 9-4. If you want to get more specific, it's 9.1 to 3.8. So those are things that got to be addressed going forward. real quickly, going to look at our good buddies. Our good buddies, Jackson Creighton. All right. There's actually a big-time Creighton family on one of my daughter's soccer teams, so I have to be careful when I go after Creighton now. Are we going to sit next to each other at the game? No, I'm just kidding. They've been great. But Creighton, all right, they are a Nebraska team, so I love talking Nebraska sports team. So they're 43-16 overall in the year. Had a very good season. Their season comes to an end in their regional as well. They, let me see here, took on Kansas, number 25 ranked Kansas, by the way, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the Fayetteville regional. Beat them 11-4 right out the gate. Took on number 6 Arkansas, lost 1-12. Stayed alive against North Dakota State, 11-10 on Sunday, and then lost again to Arkansas, all right, the eventual regional champs there in Fayetteville, 3-8 on Sunday. So Creighton had a very good, all right, very good baseball season in their own right. Always have good basketball teams, always have good baseball teams, always have good volleyball teams. UNO was coming up. They made the basketball tournament this past year. Their baseball team had some big wins this past year, beat LSU at one point early on in the season. So there's a lot of good teams and a lot of good baseball teams forming and developing and growing and improving within the state of Nebraska. All right. So what are your thoughts on baseball growing throughout the state of Nebraska? Okay. I root for all Nebraska teams, but I'm being honest, I wouldn't mind if Creighton and UNO weren't as good as much as I root for Nebraska teams, if Nebraska themselves just got that much better. Not exactly That's how fair. It works. But it's growing across the board. What are your thoughts on Creighton having a good season? UNO getting better and better in all their sports.
I think it's great. I have a different look at it. If Nebraska and Creighton or Nebraska UNO, if we aren't playing, I'm probably going to root for them. That's kind of who I am. I kind of will root for them. I'm more of a basketball. When it comes to Creighton basketball, that's when I get a little bit more fired up in terms of the fan base. But I think it's great. I love seeing the Nebraska, you know, teams do well across all sports. But yeah, I kind of agree with that. I would love to see Nebraska be like just one step further than them and kind of bringing them up with Nebraska as well. I agree with that. But it's always great to see Nebraska kids, Nebraska schools doing well. Can't lie about that.
No, I agree with you. I've mentioned that before, mostly during basketball when Nebraska's playing Creighton in basketball. Like, I don't mind rooting for Creighton at all. I root for Creighton when they're not playing Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I did say there was a limit to that rooting. Because when we lived outside of Denver, and I've said this before, I could have cared less about the Broncos. People were like, oh, you root for the Broncos, you're rooting against the Broncos. Don't care. Have no tie. Could not care less. In fact, the only interesting random tidbit of a stat here, I played against 31 of the 32 NFL teams. Okay, obviously a bunch of them multiple times. The only one I never played against was the Broncos.
Huh.
Ironically. Was the one team I never actually played against.
That's crazy.
In a regular season game. But that's neither here nor there. Then the Broncos win that Super Bowl. What was it, 2015 or whatever? Okay, Von Miller, Cam Newton, the fumble. Von Miller has that great game, MVP of the game. I still remember that draft because Cam went 1, Von Miller went 2. And I remember I was standing in Hoo-Hots in line while they're cooking my food in front of me. Have you ever been to Hoo-Hots?
No.
Mongolian Grill? So you go, you pick out what you want. If you ever go, put a bunch of sauce. You can't put too much sauce. It's not possible. Like, I will put all the meat and the noodles and the vegetables and everything that I want in, and then I will get an entire, because you put it in a bowl, I will get an entire another second bowl just dedicated to the sauces. And the entire bowl is just sauce after sauce after sauce. And then they mix the two and they cook it right in front of you while you stand in line and move around. So I'm watching the draft. They take Cam 1. They take Von Miller 2. All right, the Panthers and the Broncos. And I'm like, man. That's what you need to win. You need a quarterback and you need a pass rusher. I remember thinking in my mind, what if they ever faced off in a big game one day? And then obviously it turned out to be the freaking Super Bowl. And it was the pass rusher, Vaughn, not Cam Newton, that got the win that day. Both great players. Okay. Vaughn was Super Bowl MVP. Cam Newton, NFL MVP. Think they did all right for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But after that win, the people around there started in Denver. We lived outside of Denver. Started talking so much trash. And all of a sudden, a team that I wasn't going to root for, but I wasn't going to root against. All of a sudden, now I couldn't stand them. And now I just wanted to root against them. And I was like, you just shut up. Your team had a good – and then they kind of fell off a cliff after Peyton Manning left and Von Miller left. But it's kind of like that with Creighton. This is how that connects is I don't mind rooting for Creighton. I actually like rooting for Creighton to a point. Because once you cross that point, then we're going to hear about how much better Creighton is than Nebraska. And so to me, that point in basketball, I've always said it's like the Final Four. Like if Creighton made the Final Four, that'd be okay. I'd be happy. But if they play for a title or win a title, I just have a feeling it's never going to end.
Oh,
and
I just don't want to deal with that. Oh, yeah. No, that's totally a fair point. It would never end. It would always be, well, we won a national title.
Yep.
What did you do?
So yeah. To me, it's like I like rooting for Creighton and UNO and all those non-Husker schools, but Nebraska state schools that I love up to the Final Four. And then, like in basketball, and that's kind of my point. So you come back to Nebraska, the regional. So Creighton had a good season in baseball. Shout out to them. Again, I think their overall record, I closed the tab, but I think it was like 43-16. So that's really freaking good, obviously. Wow. Yeah. Almost 3-1 win-to-loss ratio there. You come back to Nebraska. Obviously, the regionals doesn't go the way that you want. They finished their season 33-29. All right. Is there anything off the text line real quick? And if not, I got a question for the fine folks.
Let's see here. D-Train says it's about the kids that come out of Nebraska. For UNO and Creighton, it's different than pro sports. Okay.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Froth says, Creighton baseball has owned Nebraska baseball the last 10 years. I hate Creighton baseball.
See, I thought he was talking trash on behalf of Creighton, and I was about to say, that's it. That's my point right there. But no, he's saying he's a Husker fan, and he's tired of losing. Okay.
Yeah, and then...
I can agree with that.
Unknown texter 2312 says, the loss of our number two and three hitters, Overbeek and Bowling, certainly didn't help us at the regional.
That's a great point.
It's definitely phenomenal true. Point. And then unknown texter 0167 says, typical Nebraska ball. I'm saying Nebraska ball. Nebraska ball. Pathetic, unserious program.
Nebraska ball. I had not heard that one.
I've been seeing it go around a little bit recently.
Is it a shot at so many injuries that we've had? The brace, like you need a brace?
No. Like, you know how we say Nebraska ball?
Yeah, I get that.
Like Nebraska, like baseball.
So it's not like meant as a compliment, like a good thing or a bad thing.
Maybe they meant Nebaseball. I think Nebaseball probably falls off.
Okay.
They said Nebraceball.
It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
I think Nebaseball is better, but I guess you don't get the brass, like Nebraska. Yeah. It's Nebraska ball. I don't know. Nebraska ball is definitely.
I like Nebraska ball.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about Nebaseball. I don't like Nebraceball. It makes me think of a brace on a knee. Maybe that's because I've had so many injuries. I don't know.
Jesse the Plumber says, Creighton represents Omaha, not Nebraska. Don't root for them. Okay.
So I can get that sentiment. Okay. I definitely think of it as an Omaha school, whereas I think the Huskers as a Nebraska school, but they're really both Nebraska schools. I've said it before.
True.
I equate Omaha, I equate Creighton to how I root for the Big Ten schools. I want the Big Ten to do well because it makes Nebraska Huskers look better.
Yeah.
I just want Creighton and UNO to do good to a point, to be clear, to a point, because the state of Nebraska looks better. But if someone says I see them more as an Omaha school, I can understand that. I definitely associate them more directly with Omaha, but Omaha's a part of Nebraska, and I connect Omaha with Nebraska too.
No, yeah, for sure.
I forget which texture it was. They kind of, and I, you know, you have to reread it, but they basically buried the Nebraska baseball program, not a serious program, all that good, stuff. Okay. So that's the one thing that's bothered me online. I mean, 17-1, losing 2 out of 3, not the way you want to go down. I guarantee coaches and Bolt isn't happy. The players aren't happy. Fans shouldn't be happy with that. But to say it's not a serious program, we just won the Big Ten championship 2 years in a row. Okay, and this is with adding Oregon and USC and UCLA. By the way, a lot of these teams just hosted regional, so they're pretty freaking good. You have something?
It's just, I kind of draw a connection here to the basketball team. Like, they do poor, they get to the tournament, they can't win.
Yep.
But then you watch the Nebraska basketball team go and win the crown.
Yep.
It's like Nebraska baseball. they go and win a Big Ten tournament 2 years in a row. They get to the tournament. They get to the regional. They can't win. So it's just like, you're getting success and then you're not. Like, I don't know where the stopping point is. I don't know what's going wrong because you're getting there, but you're not getting anywhere further.
So to his point and to your point, again, in their last 10 NCAA tournament games, 1-9. Outscored 9.1 to 3.8, if we're going to round and be kind, 9-4. So these games, you're getting more than doubled up. The winning percentage is at about 10%. So it's not what you want. So that's a fair point. That's frustrating. I don't know, man. When I was growing up, when I was a young kid, I was fresh. Everyone remembers 94, 95, 97 with football. I was just when I was old enough to start understanding what was going on in 94, I was 9 years old. 10 years old. If I could do math, I was born in 84. And I was just really starting to understand what was going on in college football. That was fresh off 7 straight bowl losses for Coach Osborne and the Huskers. 7 straight bowl losses, and some of them were not close. Go back, look at that Citrus Bowl, Georgia Tech, Nebraska, not pretty. Go 22-3, they lost to Miami. And then Florida State, I think they actually, it was within 14 points, a 92 right before they almost beat them, should have beat them in 93. But a lot of those bowl losses were, there was separation in the score. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of a while to piece things together, figure things out. To say it's not a serious baseball program, I think is going too far. I understand the frustration in the postseason and the tournament. But this is a team that going into the Big Ten tournament wasn't supposed to be in the NCAA tournament. We're like, oh, they have to win it all. It's not going to happen. Oh, then they win it all. Now they're all of a sudden they're in. Now, you want to do better once you get there, especially if you're supposed to be one of the hottest teams in the country. I look at the season as a whole. You look at the regular season, not what they wanted. Barely over 500. You look at the regional, not the way they wanted it to go. I don't want to say the Big Ten tournament kind of saved how we look at the season, but it saved how we look at the season. And I think that's because it's worth valuing winning a Big Ten championship for the second year in a row, 9 straight Big Ten tournament game wins, and finding a way to win game after game after game when your season is on the line. Yes, do they have more work to do? Osborne played for a lot of championships, 1 conference championships. It's different when you get outside of your region, even as big as the conference is in the Big Ten, your conference. And it's different when you're trying to beat different teams, and there's a learning process to that. Osborne went through it, clearly freaking figured it out. And so I can't help but wonder if maybe Will Bolt's going through that right now. I'm not saying we're going to win like 3, 4, 5 titles in baseball. I'm not saying we're not. What I'm saying is it's a learning process. Will Bolt figure it out? That's the question. Osborne eventually figured it out, obviously. Fred Hoiberg, can he figure it out? Now, I will point out in the crown, because it's great to win the crown tournament championship. It's great that we beat more ranked teams than we'd ever beaten before in a single season. But that consistency, the consistency, the consistency. You don't even make the Big Ten tournament. You're said to be one of the top 15 teams, I believe, in basketball, 12 in baseball. But when you win the crown tournament, you got to remember you're playing. It means something. It has value. I don't want to say it doesn't, because I look at that season completely differently now, having won the crown, than I did before we won it at the end of the regular season and how that felt. But you beat teams that weren't good enough to be in the tournament, to win the crown tournament championship. So once you get in the tournament, you have to be able to take it to another level, and you've got to be able to adjust. And that's what baseball's having a hard time with. And that's what basketball's obviously got to figure out as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just something that I thought about while you were saying all that is and I know it's different, but just the magnitude of the difference between sports is, imagine Nebraska football has a great season. They make the Big Ten championship. They win. They go to the college football playoff. They lose in the first round. How do you feel about that season?
Right now, we feel great.
Yeah.
Unless we lost 1,000-0 in the playoff.
Yeah, and I know it's different. I know it's different. It's just like, it's interesting to see that across sports. Like in baseball, we're winning conference titles and losing in the first round of the regional tournament. And it's not, we're not liking that. And it's same thing with basketball, but with football, we just got excited because we made a little bowl game.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back to when I was a kid. Getting to a bowl game was an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like when I played here, like bowl game. Yeah, why wouldn't we get to a bowl game?
Yeah.
9 wins for a long time, over 40 years. No other schools ever had 9 plus wins every single year for over 4 decades, except for the one that resides in Lincoln, Nebraska. 9 wins. Bowl games were taken for granted. And Coach Osborne told me this one time when I interviewed him. After that Georgia Tech Citrus Bowl, Georgia Tech was co-national champs that year, by the way, if you remember, in 1990 with yes. Colorado.
Yes, I
forgot. The 5th down, everything that happened that year, it's Colorado, so I have to take shots. I'm sorry. There's so much more I could go into. I'll leave it alone. I actually like Bill McCartney, their head coach at that point in time. Okay, but they shared the national title with Colorado. But so Georgia Tech was pretty good. But Coach Osborne gathered all his coaches at the end of that season. By the way, this was like a 9-10 win season. They were top 10 to 15 team in the country. He said, you might as well start looking for jobs. We're going to get fired. Now, thankfully, that didn't happen. But they came back next year and they lost, I think it was 22-3 or 22-0 in the Orange Bowl to Miami, who was co-national champs with Washington that year, by the way. So it's not like they're not playing really tough teams.
Oh, yeah.
But the expectations for Husker fans was, if you're not winning a national title, Like, what are we doing here? And now it's like, let's just win a bowl game. Yeah. So it's all relative. It's all based on perspective, and it's all based on what you're used to happening recently.
Yeah, Pelini got fired on like a...
So it's Solich.
Like a 9-9 with... Yeah, and Solich too. And we all know what happens after that. But like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a whole another couple of rabbit holes we could go there. We'll save that for another day. When we come back, I had a whole bunch of more Husker sports to talk about. I got some interesting random baseball stats. Random baseball stats, including Tony Gwynn and a basketball stat. That has got to be one of the most interesting stats I've ever seen. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.